Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name, where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom, shalom. We back again. Another week, another Sabbath. Man, you already know each and every week is going down on the Poetic Energy Network station. I'm your host, Sid. We're on the way. We got another good show lined up for you. It's part two of what we were talking about last week. If you missed it last week, you got to go and check it out. Man, the Ruach was really flowing. Who was really blessing us, man, that, you know, and we got some understanding, man. The word was really blessing us to understand what was going on. But we're going to give a little recap before we get back into it. But, yeah. This is what we're, you know, so let's just pray right now and go to the throne. Father, who are Yahushua, HaMashiach, name, we thank you again for another Sabbath, another week. Father, we just pray, great and awesome and esteemed and set apart is your name. Father, we pray that your kingdom come, your will be done. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Father, we, esteem you, and we thank you for Yahushua. We pray that you would speak through us, to us, and show us what's at hand, and show us awesome things in your Torah. We love you, and we thank you, and we ask you to forgive us for our sins. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So yes. We're back again. So, you know, before we get back into the recap, we was gonna get, you know, a little news update, as far as the Middle East section, because we've been, you know, keeping the, going on about that. I know a couple weeks ago we had talked about they had a meeting with the six world powers that was gonna be in Istanbul, which was, you know, China, Russia, Germany, U.S., and Britain. And also Iran was out there. And so they had a meeting far as concerning the nuclear program of Iran. And so, you know, the meeting, you know, from the reports, you know, the consensus of the meeting is that it was, a lot of people said, they said it was a modest step toward resolving the dispute in the Tehran nuclear program, agreeing to negotiate the differences in the most, again, next month in Baghdad. So next month in Baghdad. Baghdad, they said that they would, Iran said that they would, you know, think about negotiating. And a lot of the officials were saying that the meeting was peaceful and positive and useful. However, Iran never really said that they're going to regress on their reproach. So the meeting, once again, is May 23rd in Baghdad. And so a lot of people were saying, oh, they're just trying to waste time because, you know, to you know, get, you know, enrich uranium and, you know, all these things. And I don't think Israel, you know, the secular state of Israel was actually at the meeting. But they were releasing statements, you know, that the sanctions, there was, you know, some people had opposing views. They were saying that these sanctions that have been put on Iran, you know, has weakened their economy, you know, has weakened their oil sales, raised the import prices, and has slashed, you know, the value of their currency by almost half. So they're saying that they're feeling the pressure of this, so that's why they're willing to talk next month. However, they never released a statement saying that they would regress and really talk about this, because I found some information. It is called the Nuclear Non proliferation treaty. Now this treaty, the NPT, I believe it's called, Article 5, basically states that, and what they're stating is that it is a sovereign state's inalienable rights to produce uranium for peaceful efforts, and nobody can really interfere with those efforts, you know. So they're sticking to this treaty that was signed, you know, and it's pretty much the governing body of law as far as when it comes to nuclear stuff. So they're sticking behind that and saying that, hey, we still have the inalienable rights, because if somebody else wants to do it, you know, it's like they're just being reasoned out. So a lot of people think they're just buying time, and you know, it's different views, but that's what they're saying. They haven't said that they're going to back down. They didn't say that they're going to really reduce their program. All they said is they are willing to, you know, negotiate, not with the U.S. or the EU, but to talk more about what's going on in about this situation. So that's what you have in that. We're going to continue to keep you up to date with that. And so that is very interesting, because it seems to be a false sense of security and false sense of peace coming out of this meeting, when they have never even said, you know. So, and we already know the state, they were saying, you know, it kind of relieves the state of tension and war that is increasing in the Middle East. However, Israel and I believe none of the reports say that any of their officials was at this meeting. So, you know, so it could be a false sense of peace. And we got to be aware of that when they say, you know, peace and security, you know, always, you know, the scripture says that sudden destruction is coming. So, you know, they're talking about peace and safety, all, you know, they've agreed to the meeting and all this stuff. But we just got to continue to keep our eyes peeled on this. And so we continue to watch that. We continue to watch the peace treaty that could be possibly, you know, we just got to continue to be aware, you know, this peace treaty. Because we know that according to Revelation, those 7 years left in Daniel's prophecy, of that 490 years prophecy, that there's 7 years left. So we're watching, you know, whether it's going to be Obama, whether it's going to be somebody, or, you know, Daniel 9:27 will be fulfilled, where, you know, he will make a covenant with many for 1 week. So that's important to note, and that's important to continue to watch this situation and continue to watch how this unfolds, because you're talking about when Daniel 9:27 is fulfilled, we're talking about watching Revelations unfold and being prepared for the coming of Yahushua Messiah. So that's what you have there. It's not too much going out of there too much, because also another thing is the whole total sanctions go into effect in June, and so, you know, and then you got the Summer Olympics, and then you got all that going on, and so they're trying to resolve this thing before, you know, the total sanctions go into effect, because, you know, possibly, you know, could start a war. So this is the state of the Middle East and what's going down, so we'll continue to keep you up to date on that. So, yeah. As far as moving on, we want to just throw some current news things that be going out. You know, they had the Tupac hologram thing. I don't know if you get a chance to see that, but they had a Tupac hologram with the 3D image, you know, kind of like 3D image, and it's almost looking kind of real almost. And this is, you know, this is the, you know, what they have, the blue beam technology, and the really things with, you know, I personally believe they're going to be using in the end times to deceive people with all this, you know, different technology and things they have, because we know about the image of the beast. We know about the, you know, we know about the cross. We know about the image that, you know, we know about the image that speaks and the image of, you know, how they create, you know, JC and just all these different images and the technology they have to do the things they can do now. I mean, things are really going to be deceptive, you know, far as TV. Like if nobody told people what they seen, even with that Tupac thing, what was false, you know, people possibly, I mean, you really couldn't tell that, you know, and somebody told you it was false. So, I mean, these things, especially with the media watching TV, you really don't know what you're going to see is really real. You know, you'll see, they'll have, I mean, everything. You've seen a Hollywood movie. You've seen things that they do. So you really can't believe your eyes. You have to believe. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight anyway. And so it's a reason for him saying that is that, hey, we don't walk by what we can see, because you're going to see, according to the scriptures and according to, you know, apocryphal writings, is, you know, even when the son of perdition, these false prophets be given, you know, the ability to do signs and wonders. I mean, they're calling lightning from the sky. They're walking on water. They're healing people. They're doing all kind of madness. And people will be led astray, you know, because they believe these things with their eyes and see these things with their eyes and be massively deceived. So it's probably just a way to, you know, the Tupac thing was a way to condition people, to get people ready for the introduction of, you know, this technology that they are currently working with and improving and, you know, and just getting the stage ready for the mass global deception, you know, because we've been talking about last week how these people come in with the DNA evidence, they come with this, they come with that, and it's very, very deceptive, you know. And so we're talking about that, you know, you still got the Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin case going out there. We're going to continue to keep you abreast of that. You know, he was released on bond, and, you know, so we got the whole thing on that. We're going to continue to, you know, give you the details on that, yeah, willing, next time. But, hey, you still listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm your host, Sada. We're still on the way. Hey, last week, man, we had an awesome show, man. We talked about how, you know, who was the first to really fall, you know, who was the first to sin, I should say, who was the first to sin, and the consensus is what the scriptures say, is it was the messengers who sinned first, and then they brought sin into Hawan and brought sin into the world through Adam, you know, and so now the world's in chaos, and we talked about the past age, about how in the beginning Yahuwah created the heavens and the earth, and how that, you know, how the earth, you know, existed in that age, and the rebellion happened when Yahusha seen Hashatan fall from the sky like lightning, and they rebelled, and a third of the host was drawn away of Yahuwah's to, you know, with Hashatan, and, you know, he took in his heart to ascend into the heavens, into the heights, you know, and to be like the Most High, you know, according to Isaiah and Yeshayahu 14. And then there's a fight. He's cast the earth. And then in between Genesis 1 and 2, the earth becomes Hayah, formless, without void, and the earth is destroyed and in ruin to Hu Bahu, in which one of the visions that Jeremiah seen. So we were just talking about that, just recapping with that. And you had all this take place. You had all this take place because we know that when the garden story happens, that Hashatan has already failed, And so Yahuwah now is telling them, hey, do not eat from the tree of good and evil, in which you will surely die. You know, you will surely die. And so, you know, according to the scriptures and everything's a parable, is that tree, you know, is metaphorically, you know, the only thing that at that time, in that age of that perfect state of the recreation of the world that was evil, you know, was Hashatan, the serpent in the garden. So he told them, do not take the wisdom, do not take the fruit, the knowledge of what he's saying, because Hashatan had that knowledge of that past age of the rebellion, of the anarchy and chaos. And that's what Genesis 1:2 was saying, that the earth was in disarray and in chaos, you know. And so Hashatan introduced that to Hawan, and Hawan introduced it to Adam. And there you have it. You had the fall. So now this whole world is in chaos because of the fall of Adam through the pride of the devil who had deceived him, you know. So we was talking about that. And we really wanted to get into really reading Bereshit 1:2 with that perspective of knowing, hey, we've been lied to, you know, in our history class, you know, because they teach evolution. And I was talking with the wife, you know, we were talking about that. And the whole thing of evolution, you look at the whole thing of the Neanderthals, and, you know, these things were giants, and they're, you know, and they show the chart of it getting smaller. But these things were, you know, these things were Nephilim. You know, we read in Genesis chapter 6 that the Nephilim was on earth in those days, these giants. And so they say man descended from them. We read Genesis 6, and you know, we're talking about these giants, these cave-looking, tall giant men, you know. It says, Genesis 6 and 4 says, the Nephilim were on earth in those days and also afterwards, when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, and those were mighty men who were of old, the men of Nain. So we know that even after the flood, I'm talking about Noah's flood, even after Noah's flood, they still survived. They still survived. Because the crazy thing about it is, so basically, you know, scientists and modern day people, they put in these history books that evolution is from, you know, these Nephilim giant men, you know, and who the current humans now resemble. But, however, this is untrue. They are basically saying that, you know, men descended from these Nephilim giants, when, in fact, you know, Adam was the first physical man from the dust of the earth, you know. So that's another myth and lie, because even when you go back to the past age, what we were talking about last week, is that past age, you had the dinosaurs, but you had also the age of the messengers, you know, and the messengers are not of our makeup, you know, they're not the same flesh. So, you know, so for them to say, and archaeological research, you know, shows that, yes, they have found bones of dinosaurs, but they never actually found, never has it been reported, have they found a human bone beside a dinosaur? Have they ever found, bones that have been preserved from millions of years ago, because it's not possible, because humans didn't exist, because Adam was the first man. So it makes sense that you get to see the deception of how they're saying that, you know, these Neanderthal men were 1,000 years old, when actually they weren't. They were from the times of Noah and the times of the beginning, who were these giants, you know. So we just talking about that deception there, but we really wanted to get into, okay, really breaking down what happened in Bereshit, And so we talk about that. So if you didn't get a chance, you got to check out that show so you can understand the creation of the world, man, because we worship the creator of the heavens and the earth. So so we read that. So we go into Bereshit 1, chapter 1, verse 1. This is very interesting when you start to look at the Hebrew and start to look at the words that the Ruach HaKodesh used, the set-apart spirit used. It kind of gives you an understanding of what Yahuwah is saying, what the word says. So we read that in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning of time. In the Bereshit, in the beginning, Elohim, Aleph and Tah, created, bara, the heavens and the earth. Now, it was something interesting I looked into is that the Ruach HaKodesh makes a difference between the word create and made. And there's never any confusion about it. The word create, bara, B-A-R-A, is defined as like the instantaneous creation of something basically through the word. Basically, like it's the creation that like he created the world through his word and spoke it into existence. So we're talking about in the beginning, he, bara, created through his word, the Aleph and Tah, Yahushua, the heavens and the earth. That means the Milky Way, the cosmos, the stars, the heavens, the sun, and the moon, and the earth, and everything he created in the beginning. So that's millions of years ago. That's millions. So that takes it out right there that the earth is not 6,000 years old, because millions of years ago, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. The heavens bear witness that they're of old. You know, even Kepler, we was reading Kepler, he said that people forget, have this hidden from them, that the heavens were of old. So we want to go back to that. You know what I'm saying? We want to go back to that if I can find it. And so Kepler said that, he said people have that hidden from them that the heavens were from old. You know, they existed thousands, millions of years ago. You know, the heavens were from old. And so we'll try if you go to Second Kepler, Second Kepler, chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "For they choose to have this hidden from them, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, by the word of Elohim." So we know that the heavens were from old. The heavens, in the beginning, the heavens were created, not. So, because growing up Christianity, you get this thing where you cognitively have to put your spin and your opinion on the words without letting the word just stand for itself and taking it for face value that in the beginning, Elohim, Aleph and Tah, bara, he created instantaneously by the word of Elohim the heavens and the earth. That means he spoke it. He knew all the stars' names. I mean, the billions of stars. These things are millions of years old. These stars, these galaxies. I mean, you can't even imagine. We have no telescope to go to the end of space. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're talking about. These galaxies, these black holes, these, you know. Okay. So we talked about that, and we talked about in between that time and the time before Adam, you have a space. Between millions of years, you have a space. And so we talked about last week about the fall of Hashatan and the whole rebellion and that age before, because we know that the messengers had already been created before Adam was created, and they existed in the beginning with Yahuwah. Okay?
and they were standing there rejoicing. When he, it says that they were standing and rejoicing, as we told Job, is that they were standing and rejoicing when he created the host of heaven, the heavens and the earth. They were in the beginning, millions of years ago, thousands, could be even billions. We don't know. But in between this time, they were there, okay? And so the fall happens, all this happens, and Yahuwah destroys the earth. And that's how the earth, and then we read verse 2, and the earth became Haya, formless, or what we read in the Hebrew, it says disarray, in chaos, in envy. That's what, according to the Hebrew. And darkness. So remember, when he created the heavens and the earth, the stars had light. The stars we see at night, they have light. He created the heavens and the earth, the moon, the sun, all these things were created, and they gave light. So when he destroyed the earth, it got dark. Just like at the end of this age, the sun's gonna lose its light, the stars gonna drop out of the sky, they're gonna lose its light, and all these things gonna happen. The same thing as it was, so it will be. So everything got dark when he destroyed everything. He destroyed the earth. Okay, that's when the earth became formless and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now this gets very interesting right here. When you start to read this in the Hebrew, and it says verse 2, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim was moving over the face of the waters. Now this gets very interesting right here when you read this. So it was darkness, that means the light was withheld because it had already been created, but it was withheld because in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the earth, the Milky Way, everything he created. But after destroying, he withdrew the light. He withdrew the light in all this. That's what Yirmiyahu was saying. What did Yirmiyahu say? We're gonna recap. So in case you missed it, you know, we could put line upon line, precept upon precept. So if you go to Jeremiah. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 4, he talks about this vision that he sees, and he said Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23, and he says, "I looked at the earth and saw it was formless and empty." Tahuah Bahu. The second place this word is only used back to back. It's the second place. You're talking about Bereshit 1:2, and Yirmiyahu chapter 4, verse 23, these two words, Tahu and Bahu, which meant confusion and empty, formless and empty, these are two places it's only used. And the heavens, they had no light. The heavens had no light. So we've seen this vision of what Yahuwah showed them, that the heavens that he had created with the light, with the stars, with the sun, the moon, they had no light. So it makes sense that when he says, "Let there be light," that the light that existed came back, you know. So, but hold your finger there, and we go back, and we say, "And the spirit of Elohim was moving on the face of the water." Okay, this is getting interesting. When you look in the Hebrew, I'm going to find it for you. Okay, when you look in the Hebrew, when it says, "And the spirit of Elohim was moving over the face of the waters," you get a very interesting word. It says, it's R-A-C-H-A-P-H, Rahava. It means to hover, to move. I mean, it's translated as hover or move, but the definition is Strong's 7363. And it means to break up, to soften, to shake, and almost gives you the sense of melting. To break up, to soften, to break, to shake. Now, this gets very interesting. When you talk about, we talked about the dinosaurs, we talked about that age, and it gets very interesting because this just this is just geology, is the only way fossils can be formed is, or organisms, in order for fossils to be formed, they have to be quickly or instantaneously buried in between two layers of rock or something. You know, have to be quickly buried in between two layers of rock or something to be preserved. Because if not, it will go through the normal decay. You know. And what I mean by that is if you were to dig up a coffin and you look at somebody that had been buried a super long time, it would decay, you know, even the bones would decay, you know, and it would disintegrate, you know. I mean, it would turn to almost ashes, you know, it would disintegrate. However, if you look at something that had been instantaneously put into, you know, measured into two rocks, those that's why those dinosaur bones and those things have been preserved, because when Yahuwah destroyed the earth, it was instantaneously, and there was a tohu and bahu, or utter destruction, into which the sunlight and all the light got withdrew. And it makes sense that if Yahuwah was to withdraw the sun's light to take the earth's going to be very cold, and the earth's going to be, you know, very, because it has no light, you know. If winter happens when the sun is farthest away from, you know, where you're living at, you know. So imagine if there is no sun, imagine how quickly, and there is no light, imagine how quickly the temperature will rise and things like that. I mean, this is just geological, you know, facts, that in order for these fossils to form, they have to be, you know, in organisms, they have to be quickly immersed into two different rocks. So that happened, you know, because there's evidence today that these are real bones, you know what I'm saying? So this is from the age before the recreation of the world, before the creation of Adam. So this is what you have. You had that utter destruction where Yahuwah destroyed, and these things were preserved in this. So when you read the Hebrew and it said that the spirit was hovering over the waters, and it was hovering over the waters, and it had to break, and the Hebrew says it had to break up, it had to shake, it had to soften, it had to melt the waters. I mean, the only waters that have to be broken up and shaken is, you're talking about, you know, something that has to be ice or something. You know, it has to be ice, it has to be broken up, it has to be shaken, it has to be softened, it has to be melted. So it makes sense that, you know, we never looked at it like this, but we understand that the world, that when we understand Bereshit 1:1, it changes the whole aspect of anything, because we look at it from the point of view of just reading it and meaning it. In the beginning, the Aleph and Tav Elohim, Bara, he created instantaneously through his word the galaxies, the stars, the heavens. He created everything, the heavens and the earth. That means everything in between. Not just what we believe what he created, but everything. The heavens and the earth. Everything. Even the host of heaven, the stars, everything. So when this light was withdrawn after he destroyed the earth becomes cold, and these fossils are preserved. That's why we have evidence today. And the Ruach, the spirit of Elohim, was moving and melting and breaking, according to, if you don't believe me, look up Strong's, take it down, write it down, 7363, where it says that it hovers over the face of the water. It was breaking up, it was shaking, it was melting, it was softening the water that possibly had been frozen. So now let's read this, continue to read this. It says, and Elohim said, let the light come to be. And the light came to be. Now, I don't know if you know, but at the end of this age, we're going to read it. Matter of fact, we're going to read it so you understand. Because Yahushua said that if we could know, if we understand the beginning, we will understand the end. So, and what was, it will be again. So, let's read let's go to Joel. And you have the scriptures on, it's on page 608. But you go to Joel. Let's go to Joel chapter 3, verse 15. Joel chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "Then the sun and the moon shall become dark, and the stars shall withdraw their brightness." I mean, that's even at the end of this age, the same thing will happen. That when he gets ready to destroy the earth, when he's destroying the earth, that the sun and the moon and the stars, they're going to withdraw their light. It's going to be dark. So the same thing happened back then in the first age when Hashatan had fell and who had destroyed the earth. He took the light and the sun away. And so that's why the spirit has to come over, because think about why the North Pole and all that's why it's so cold, why it's ice there. Because it is the furthest away from the sun. You know? So imagine if the whole earth, if there's no light whatsoever. I mean, it won't be long before things really, really get cold and really things start to, and he floods the earth. And if he floods the earth and takes away the sunlight, I mean, the whole thing's going to freeze over. And we just read in Kepha, that the first earth's destruction, I'm not talking about Noah's flood, but the first time he destroys it before that first age with the messengers after the fall of Hashatan, and when they was on earth, in the third of the messengers, it says, 2 Kepha chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "For they have chosen to have this hidden from them, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water by the word of Elohim, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." So he's not talking about Noah's flood. He's talking about in the beginning when Hashatan fell, that the earth had been flooded, had been destroyed, and at that time it was flooded. Yahuwah withdrew the light. When he withdrew the light, the earth, the water had frozen up. That's why the spirit had to hover over it, to break it, to shake it, to soften it, to melt it. Okay? And so when he recreated, we're going to talk about verse 7, but keep your fingers on there too. So Yahuwah withdrew the light. We don't know how long that process was after he destroyed and flooded the earth and withdrew the light, how long that process was. We don't know how long that process was, you know, that was when there was no light, when there was destruction. That's why I said in darkness was on the face of the deep. Okay? If there was darkness, there had to be light before that. It says, "And Elohim said, let there be light, came to be, and the light came to be. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good, and Elohim separated the light from the darkness." Okay? So once again, he starts to, like I said, it's amazing when you look in the Hebrew and look at the words that the Ruach used. It only used that word bara, means creating, a couple times, and he uses... And it uses other words differently. It says, "And Elohim separated the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning one day." Now, this is an important fact, too, that I never really looked into. So, basically, when you read Bereshit 1:2, it said the earth came to be formless or in confusion. Hayah, it came to be formless, in confusion, or disarray, and empty. and void, or void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the spirit, or the rock, or the spirit, the ruach, was rahapha, hovering, breaking up, shaking, melting on the face of the ice or the waters. Okay? So when you say let there be light, common sense tells you that if it's ice here and the light comes back, the thing's going to start to melt. You know, the ruach's going to start to, it was already breaking the waters up, so when it starts to melt, it's going to, you'll get to see later in the bare sheet how it makes sense. And this is a point of fact, too, that in the beginning, millions of years ago, possibly billions of years ago, when Yahuwah created the heavens and the earth, and the sun and the moon already existed, because I used to think, you know, a lot of people told me, and I never really looked into it too much, that, okay, that the moon and sun was created on the fourth day. That's what, you know, Christianity taught me, and, you know, that it was created on the fourth day. However, verse 5 doesn't bear witness to that, because it said, and there came to be evening and there came to be morning one day. Now, there can't be evening and morning without the rotation and rising and setting of the sun. Okay? So when he said, let there be light, the sun light, the moon light, the stars light, all the lights come back. Blah. It's like somebody turned on the light switch. Blah. Light come back. Okay? Now, I didn't know this, but it hit me earlier that there cannot be even a rotation of the earth without the gravitational pull of the sun. So there cannot be, even if the earth, you know, however we believe, you know, the earth cannot rise and the sun cannot go up or it cannot set. There cannot be evening, there cannot be morning without the light of the sun. So if the sun is just created on the fourth day, then how is it that the Ruach says that it was evening and morning already? Why? Because when he said, let there be light, these lights come back in the firms. It came back, the stars came back, the moon guy came back, the sunlight came back, and it all came back. Makes sense. Okay, day two. So we move on to day two, and it says, and Elohim said, let an expansion come to be in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. Okay? Now, okay, and it says that Elohim made the expansions and separated the waters which were under the expansions from the waters which are above the expansions, and it came to be so. And Elohim called the expansions heavens, and it came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the second day. Now, when I used to read this back in the day, I used to think, okay, this is where he creates the stars, he creates all this. However, we just read, I forgot in Bereshit 1:1 that in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth, so they were already created, the heavens and the earth was already created. He's just dealing with, now, when you look at the word Shemayim, which is translated the word heavens, we talked about last week that there's three levels of heavens. You have the atmosphere from the earth surface into the clouds, into the cloud stratosphere, and then you have the heavens in which the firmament dwells, the sun, the moon, the stars, and then you have the third heaven in which is the dwelling place of Yahuwah. So you have different levels of heavens, you know. But he said let the expansions, he was dealing with the earth. It says in here, he says, and Elohim said, let the expansions come to be in the midst of the waters. Now remember, the earth had been flooded with waters, as what Kepha said, and as what the Ruach was hovering over the waters, breaking it up. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but it was breaking up the water, shaking it, melting it, melting up the waters. Then Yahuwah says, let the light come back. Okay. Now imagine the earth being flooded. What's going to happen is that the earth comes back, the sun comes back, the waters are going to begin to evaporate. Okay. And he begins to even reconstruct the stratosphere, because I don't know if you know, but most of the stratosphere, they're different. You would learn this in, you know, geology and everything like that, that the Earth's surface is made of, even the atmosphere is made of different layers of water. The Earth, so the heavens in which the birds dwell, and even all the way to into space, that that is water. Because if you really look into the second heaven, which is the place where you know, you have the firmament, the sun, the moon, the stars, there's not that much percentage. I don't even know if there is a percentage of water in that form of heaven, you know, of Shemayim. So, but he's dealing with the earth. He said that this earth surface, this is made of different layers of water. So it makes sense when he says, let the expansions come to be in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So let the waters that make up the atmosphere be separated from each other. There's almost three layers of different atmosphere of heavens just in this earth, and they're all made of water. So he made that to come to be. So now he completes the heavens. You know, so now it makes sense because, okay, now in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth. So he begins to reconstruct after what he had destroyed and flooded the earth with water. So that's day two. Okay, and it came to be so. And Elohim called the expansion heavens, and there came to be evening, morning, or the second day. And Elohim said, let the waters under the heavens. This is the third day. Now we move on to the third day. Okay. Remember, Yahuwah said, let the sun come back out. The sun came back out, the moon came back, and the firmaments and the heavens came back out, light came back out. And he said, let the waters, this is day three, and Elohim said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. See, a lot of people say, okay, that the dry land didn't exist. He made it appear from, he just said made it appear. It didn't disappear, you know. However, if we begin to look at this in context and not add, you know, our thoughts to it, if the earth had been flooded, remember the Ruach, the spirit of Elohim, was hovering over the waters, breaking it, shaking it, melting it, softening it. The waters became softened. He said, let there be light. The sun came back out. The earth starts to melt the waters. Then begins to, in day two, he begins to set in motion the heavens of the atmosphere as it begins to evaporate. And then he says, let the waters that had been melted, that the earth had been flooded with, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into their place, because they had been flooded. So it would make sense that if the waters appeared and went back to their space, and that's what he called the sea. And that the dry land appeared, because if water is on the dry land, if it moves, the dry land will appear. So it makes sense. So he said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. So the waters move back, into the sea, and the dry land appears. And it came to be so. And Elohim called the dry land earth. And said, now, it gets confusing because you're like, okay, well, if he's just calling this earth, how is it, you know, it gets confusing because you're like, okay, well, if he's calling the earth, then how did it exist already? Well, we read Genesis 1:1. It said, in the beginning, Elohim created bara, the ha'etz, and shemayim, or the heavens and the earth. So he created in the heavens and the earth. He had been created. He just calls it. In this time, he calls it what he calls and names what he had created. Just like what he told Adam to do. He had been created the animals, and he told Adam to go and name them. They had been created. He told Adam to go and name, and he had authority to go name. So that's all it is he had been created these things, and then he calls those things which he had created as though what they were, you know. And that's it. You know, the earth had been created, but he just gives a name to what he had created at that time. And now that he crawled the dry land, earth, and the collection of the waters, he called seeds. And Elohim saw that it was good. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass. And the earth, it says, and plant that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it came to be so. So here he speaks after the water goes back to the sea, after the dry land appears, because all these things have been destroyed. It makes sense that if the dinosaurs and all these animals and all plant life, that there was plant life at that time before the age before Adam, with these dinosaurs, which there probably were, because some of these dinosaurs were, you know, carnivores, some of them herbivores, eat plants and stuff like that. It would make sense that every single thing, every living organism would have died. Every plant life, all these things being frozen, all this water, all the earth being flooded and being frozen, all these plant life and all these animals died. Dead. So here, Yahuwah speaks forth and says, let the earth bring forth plant life. You know, he said, let the earth bring forth grass and plant life and seeds and fruits, says, and fruit trees and yield according to its kind. And so whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it came to be so. And the earth brought forth grass and the plant that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose fruit is in itself according to its kind. Elohim saw that it was good. And there came to be morning and evening the third day. Okay? Now, this is where, this is the fourth day. Okay, we're moving to the fourth day. And Elohim said, let the lights come to be in the expanses of the heavens, be separated. It says, let the lights come to be in the expanses of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, appointed times, and for days and years. Now, the scripture right here is plain. You know, like I said, we said earlier that the word for creation is bara. Okay, so these stars, because remember, the word can't be confusing, you know what I'm saying? Because verse 3, he said, let the lights come to be. And the lights came to be, right? So if he said lights came to be and the lights came to be, there was light there. So it can't like withhold itself. What was the light, you know? People say, what was light? It was the light he already created in the beginning that came forth back in the firmaments. So now, day 4, obviously, you think about it geologically or anything, when the spirit was hovering and it begins to melt the water and all, and it just makes sense that even if he evaporated these things, even when he was evaporating and making the expansions in the heavens and the clouds of all this water that had been formed, this would, I mean, it's just, you know, common knowledge of geology that, hey, the heavens are going to be darkened out because these clouds formations are going to form and everything like that. So when he says again, because he can't contradict himself, he said right here on day one, he said the lights came to be. So he said light, he said on day four, he said, and Elohim said that the lights come to be in the expanses of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, appointed times, and for days, and let them be for lights in the expansions and heavens to give light on the earth. And it came to be so. Okay, so once again, day one, he told the light that existed in all the firmaments that he created that had light, he said, let them come to be, and they came to be so. And he saw that the light, and that it was good. And Elohim separated the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and called the darkness he called night. And there came to be evening and morning, day one. Okay, so day four sounds similar. In Elohim said that let the lights came to be in the expansions of the heavens. Now, we just talked about what the expansions of the heavens were. Because day two, it said, and Elohim said, let the expanses come to be in the midst of the waters. So we talked about that the earth's surface, remember, when he said let the light be, it makes sense. You have to see it from a different point of view. Is the earth's expansion is the shemayim, or heavens, in between the earth's surface and to the stratosphere of the outer heavens. Because I couldn't tell you, but I don't think that there's much water made up in space. I don't know if there, because there's not even oxygen. You know, you can't go to space and not have an oxygen suit and you expect to survive, you know. And I learned this in school that water is, you know, water is H2O, you know. You know, you have to have hydrogen in a two hydrogen molecules, and you know, and all this, it gets on all that stuff, but there's no oxygen. You know, there's no human air in space. So we're talking about in this expansion of the heavens, Yahuwah said, let the lights come to be in the expansions of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let there be for signs, appointed times, and for days and years. So when on this expansion, when he said let the lights come to be, the earth's surface is able to see the light that had to be darkened. And that as we can see from earth, we can now see. So how we see the sun and the moon and the stars, which are set and had been set from the beginning, four times, signs, the seasons, that they came to be. At that time when Yahuwah spoke this word, that those things came to be, so we now can know, okay, now, you know, about the feast days, about the new moons, and about these things, because we could see it from my point of view. So, hope you understand that, is that the lights came to be in the expansions. But in day one, he said, oh, it was just overall light. It was overall light in the expansions, in the heavens, and everything. So that's, it says, and Elohim made the two great lights. It says, oh yeah, and this is another thing. Once again, verse 16, 1 and 16, a lot of people confuse that and say, oh, well, here he creates the sun and the moon. However, when you look into the Hebrew and you look at, there's two words. It's one word called bara and another word called ashah, which means to be made, which means the formation of something that was already created. See, that's where a lot of people get confused. When you look at what the Ruach was saying, in the beginning, he, Barak, created out of, instantaneously out of his word, the heavens and the earth. Now, Genesis 1:6 said, and he made Ashah, which means the formation of something he had already created. So that's what you have to look in Hebrew. Now, he made Ashah, the two great lights, the great light, the greater light for the to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. So he basically, so Ashah, when you look at that word in the Hebrew, it does not mean to create instantaneously out of his word, basically out of nothing. It means that something existed and he reformats it or recreates it in a fashion to where it's to his liking. That's why he said it was good. That's why I said, and Elohim saw that it was good. So he created it to his liking. You know, so these lights and the sun and the moon and everything, he fixed them in his place, and they came to be. And the lights, it said, and Elohim set them in the expansions of the heavens to give light on the earth. Okay? So this is giving you a summary of why Yahuwah did it. Now, he set them in the expanses of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and to rule over the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. Okay? Now, remember, verse day one, it already said that. And there came to be even, it said, and Elohim saw that it was good, and Elohim separated the light from the darkness. So day one, he already separated the light from the darkness when he said, let there be light. And just here, day four, I believe, he says, it just gives you a summary, and it says that he set them to rule over the day and over the night to separate the light from the darkness. Okay, it repeats itself. It says, and Elohim saw that it was good. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the fourth day. And Elohim said, let the waters teem the shoals of the living beings, and let the birds fly over the earth on the surface of the expanses of the heavens. There it goes again. There goes that word again, the expanses of the heavens, which we just talked about, which is the atmosphere between the earth's surface and before space, the expanses of the heavens, because birds cannot fly in space. They cannot fly in space. So people always say, oh, the expanses of the heavens. But even when you go back to day four, now Elohim said, let the light come to be in the expanses of the heavens. That means that Yahuwah had been said, let there be light in the sun and the moon and the earth's surface and the light come back. But however or whatever, we can't understand why the light actually blocked. The light was actually had to be blocked or something by the expanses of the heavens. By this atmosphere, somehow the light had to be blocked from coming into this atmosphere. But on day four, he says, let the light come to be in the expanses of the heavens and separate the day from the night. So basically, where we live at, he said, let the light come to be. So basically, if we were on earth, you understand this, if we were on earth in the beginning of the creation of the world in 6 days, that according to this, we wouldn't have seen light until the fourth day, because he said, let the light come to be in the expansions. So something had to be blocking, in the expansions had to be blocking the light, the light of the earth and the moon that he created on the first day. Okay? And let the water, in verse 20, he said, Elohim said, let the waters teem with coals of living beings, and let the birds fly above the earth on the earth's surface of the expanses of the heavens. Once again, and Elohim created the great sea creatures and every living being that moves. Created, there go that word again, bara, which means he created these animals, because remember, all animals, all living beings, had died. The dinosaurs and all that from the past age, all these things have died. So he created these things instantaneously once again through his word that moves, with which the water teemed according to their kind.
every winged bird according to its kind. And Elohim saw that was good. And Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and increase. And some versions say refill. I don't think this is the verse right here. Excuse me for that. But be fruitful and increase, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the fifth day. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living being according to its kind, stock and creeping creatures, and beast of the earth according to its kind. And it came to be so. And Elohim made the beast of the earth according to its kind, living stock according to its kind, all that creep on the earth, and all it says on the earth according to its kind. Elohim saw that it was good. This is what he says right here. And Elohim said, let us, Yahusha, also the messengers were there at that time too. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all creeping creatures that creep on the ground. And Elohim created the man in his image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said to them, be fruitful. See, a lot of people get this mixed up, too, is because this almost gives you a summary of what was happening at the time. But yet Genesis and Bereshit letter goes into the actual creation of Hawan, of the female. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and increase. And some versions, I believe, say, and we fill the earth and subdue it, which means refill means it had to be empty. Remember, Bereshit 1:2, it was empty. It was void, you know, with the messengers dwelling in before in the past age. But he says to refill, be fruitful and increase, and refill the earth, subdue the earth, and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over all creeping creatures on the earth. See, it says over all creeping creatures of the earth. That means everything. It says, and Elohim said, see, I have given you every plant that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it is for food, and every beast of the field, and to every bird of the heavens, and to every creeping creature on the earth in which there is living being, every green plant is for food, and it came to be so. And Elohim saw all that he had made. Asha, remember, Asha, which means the formation of. So all that he had made and saw, if it was good, and there came to be evening and morning, the sixth day. And thus, it says, chapter 2, verse 1, and thus the heavens and the earth were accomplished in all their array. And in the seventh day, which is, as we keep the seventh day, and in the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had done. And he had rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and set it apart, because on it he rested from all the works which that says, which Elohim in creating had made. See, look, from all the works which Elohim in bara had asha, so he had created all these things. He had created the heavens and the earth, and then in creating these things, he worked 6 days. Yahuwah worked 6 days. Now to get a better understanding of how much work it was actually work. Yahuwah worked 6 days. After him destroying the earth and flooding the earth, he worked 6 days to renew and to restore the earth. And after all that work, Yahuwah rested on the seventh day. These are the births of the heavens and the earth when they were bara, created in that day in which Elohim, Ashah, the earth and the heavens. So then it goes on and we get into more, but it gives you a sense of understanding that Yahuwah in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. And then he begins on after it's destroyed, he begins to make the earth and the heavens in 6 days. And so it was a lot of work that had to be going into that he had to do. It's a lot of work that he had to do. So that's who we worship, man. We worship Yahuwah and worship in the spirit and truth. Yahusha, his son, by him and through him, all things were made and created. And so those 6 days, he made the earth and the heavens and all those things he had to do after it had been destroyed. And he rested on the seventh day. So that's the magnitude of what all he done. So we hope every week we get to reflect on what Yahuwah created in the magnitude of his creation, because it's awesome. So, hey, you've been listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Side, and we still are on the way. Man, I hope you had a blessed Shabbat, man. We're about to get up out of here. But we'll, God willing, we'll get to talk to you next week. Man, may Yahuwah bless you and keep you, man. Fish on the point. We out here.